The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. It's episode 1000... I don't know what number it is. The thing is, I'm a bit lost because we're recording this on a Wednesday night. I'm joined by Steve. I'm joined by Pete. And also we got Paddy on the potty. Paddy on the potty. Paddy on the potty. Paddy on the potty.
Paddy on the potty.
That's if you hadn't known, Paddy, you should have a podcast yourself. It's called Paddy on the Potty. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. PP podcast, I guess.
Well, I have to explain. We're doing this for two reasons. First of all, Paddy I know from Capital Radio days. Capital Radio, 95.8. And because Pad was doing sport there. Then you went and do something else. What were you also filming stuff, Pad? Was it the music channel? Was it TV channel there?
Yeah, made a couple of music channels and then left that.
Yeah.
And now I'm running some TV shows.
Yeah, okay. And what kind of TV shows? Are they sort of, you know, stuff you can't mention on a family
real
show?
Specialist niche. Adolf, yeah.
Yeah. Adolf,
yep.
That is, you say Adolf, that is really Adolf. Specialist. And we're recording this on a Wednesday evening because Pete is going to Poland because he's got a job in a Polski sklep. Is that right, Pete?
That's correct.
Have you seen those? I thought, when I was in Cardiff once, I drove past and I saw my first Polski sklep. I just thought, I said the sign writer was like, had some kind of problem with spelling, you know?
He's dyslexic.
Yeah. Because it does look, if you blink quickly, it does look like Polish shop. But then you thought, hang on, something's wrong there. And you look at it, it's Polski sklep. And you realise, I could probably speak that language. If I, you know, if I wanted to, if I just changed a couple of words here and there, you could probably do it, couldn't you? You know?
A bit like your Chinese accent.
Yeah. Hey, when I do my Chinese accent, all the Chinese can understand it. Let me tell you that now. The non-speaking English ones, of course.
Yes.
But it's almost Polski sklep. If you just extend that a little bit, extrapolate it out, and say, how do you do today, oh, I'm good. You know, you'll be there. It's pretty much like Scooby Doo speaks, isn't it? Really?
I'll try it out and I'll let you know.
Why are you going there, Pete? To any post slap?
It's classified.
No, exactly. It's just holidays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
Hang out with folks.
Yeah. So, why are you going there? Seriously.
See some people. Check on one of my investments.
Yeah, you did pole dance or something. What are you going there for?
Yes, pole dancing. There we go.
No, but seriously, why are you going there? Is it work or play?
It is work and play.
Bloody! Just tell us why you're going there. Why are you going there? Tell us.
You got dates?
No. Why am I going there? So one of the guys I work with actually works out of Poland, and so the rest of us are all going out to see him and won't do work really, just a bit of a jolly really, to be honest.
Okay. Why are you saying working out of Poland? I'm working out of Poland,
working out of Poland?
But the way you say that, just like Americans say, no, yeah, I'm working out of, West Key or,
yes.
Key West.
I'm just trying to, glam it up a bit, make it sound more exciting than it is.
I think Steve is right with the date. I think he's trying to get a Polish visa or something. to get some work in Poland. Paddy's on the podcast because Paddy started investing and, of course, doing some deep research. And he's new to investing. He probably knows a lot more than Steve, having said that. And Steve's been at it for several years.
Well, we were chatting this week about it, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I say, you two may want to go on a date or something. Because Steve's worn out every lady on his app. So, he's widened the field of radius
right
there.
Swipes.
What's that swipe? You just widened the radius, didn't you? 5 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles. You know, Britain, France, Europe, the world, the universe, any of the galaxy, whatever. So now you just, hit that button, the swipe, and men. And then you've got a lot more that comes up. Brilliant. So, so what were you chatting about, guys? What did you say exactly about stocks and shares?
Just generally saying, things are looking up.
Just an idiot.
Yeah, well, that's true. Listen, but Pat, I know you're sort of, obviously you're interested in it, you want to earn some money, and you ask me questions that I realise, when you're starting off, there are certain things, that we take for granted, like we are sort of Steve, past the sort of basics level, but is there anything, like, for example, I know you're in a group of us and you're into FCR, we'll talk about FCR as well, Farum Crescent, because this week, a bit of controversy, a bit of excitement there. But is there any questions, Paddy, you have that we haven't thought of answering that you think would help other people who are new to investing? Because I know there's new people starting all the time, but is there anything that Steve can answer for you?
Okay. Well, I guess the thing that I'm still trying to get my head around is, like, when you buy shares, obviously you're buying them off someone.
Yeah.
That sounds like an obvious thing to say. But okay. you were talking about it on one of the podcasts a few weeks ago, where you're saying, like, if you are willing to buy something, then that means someone else has to be willing to sell it, and there has to be a reason why they're willing to sell it. And that's like a little, it seems pretty obvious to say, but that's...
I've spotted your first mistake. You've listened to our podcast. That's yeah. not going to help. That's not going to help you, Paddy. I'll tell you.
I know. No, but the thing is, what...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's not someone... There's not someone who has to sell a share for you to buy a share. And that's... Yeah, so there's a market... It's what's called market maker. The regulated companies... Exactly.
These are the dwarves who live under the caves.
These are the guys that create liquidity in the market, you know. And I mean, there was, but obviously before they were around, you had to have literally people willing to sell shares. But that was, and essentially, that's like if you think about it, stocks and shares are more liquid than houses. You know, so you have to have a house. Someone selling a house to buy a house. There's not someone who has a shop full of houses. Like, you can't go into an estate agent and nick a load of houses. They don't have them there. They're just selling someone else's house. So there's no market makers there. All they do is advertise stock, you know. But there are market makers, regulated companies on the stock exchange there. I don't know how many they are. I think that you can look it up. It's about 20 or something. But essentially, they, you know, that's how they make money, in the spread there. So when you've got a bid and ask price, a bid and offer, that one's higher, the spread there, the more illiquid a share, the less it's traded normally, the bigger that spread, because the bigger the risk is for them, because it's not traded very often, so they want to take a bigger cut, you know. So and you can see that, I mean, on certain websites you can see the difference in the spread there, percentage wise. But you see, like, big FTSE 100 companies that trade a lot have very little spread, because it's like anything. It's like if you have a supermarket like Walmart, you stack them high, sell them cheap. All you need is a small margin. But if you're not selling a lot, you know, you've got to stack up the margin a bit, so you increase the spread. So yeah, market makers are there, and there's all kinds of rumors about market makers, especially if you look on Twitter. You know, I mean, if it's funny, if someone's shares go down, it's the market maker's fault. They're playing games. It's like, no, the thing is, people never consider they bought a duff share, you know, or a bad investment. It's always the market maker's fault. So I don't know. It's like, I've had a market maker on before, and he said there's none of these tricks. There's all these tricks they play, just to edge it down a bit, or put the bid up or down, just to get people to sell or to buy, because they're filling a sell order or a buy order. I mean, but nobody... I mean, I just think it's a nice, fantastical world people create in their heads. I don't know if it's real, though, you know? I don't think it is quite real, because at the end of the day, all they're trying... They are regulated, and all they're trying to do... And I know people are probably shouting now at the podcast, if anyone's listening, but I'm saying, yes, they do! But I don't know if they do, because if
Justin,
they,
you idiot!
Yeah, because if they're caught doing it, you know, they can be in big trouble, because it's a regulated industry. And you do see these codes. You'll often see something called Code 1. When you see one share traded in a company, that's Code 1. That means something. That means a big buy order is coming in. Or there's RNS about to land. That's it. Code 1. So it's, look, Code 1, RNS about to land. I don't know if that's the case. You know, I've seen plenty of shares trade one share, and there'd be no news land. So
that's just Steve buying.
That is Steve. Steve's done that several times.
Yeah, one share.
He's mistyped a share, and it's just he's end up buying 35 pence worth of shares.
And it's an easy mistake. It's an easy mistake to make
for you,
especially on Harry and Larry, when they don't. When you're doing the putting the order in, and you've got to work out the shares. Those extra noughts sometimes confuse me.
Yeah.
That's thrown you a few times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, penny stocks.
Paddy, I have a question for Paddy. So, what stage are you at now, Paddy? Where have you started buying a few? Researching in depth research into some shares you might be interested in.
No, I've bought some shares.
Right, okay.
I've got
right.
What have I got? I've got shares in like five or six companies now.
Okay. And what sort of size
selection of? So some of the smaller ones, some of the ones that you guys talk about, some of the ones that Justin's talked about on the podcast, and then also BT, which I thought I'd got in at a good price at, but looking at what happened today, then perhaps I didn't.
You're in a better position than we are, though. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I don't know, BT, also, I don't understand what's going on with BT. Right, first of all the issues I can see they've got are out the window now. I mean, Ofcom is sorted. You know, that's pretty much done. I know you were a sports guy, so you were talking about the football rights. That was a lot cheaper this time round, and them and Sky didn't seem to bid as hard, you know, strongly on that. There's also the defined pension benefit scheme, which they've now kicked into touch. This fund, which has cost them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
That should have been it. That announcement should have been the one where it all settles down and that it's all on the up. It's gone even further down, which I can't get my head around.
And you've got BlackRock, BlackRock is one of the biggest funds in the world. So they, you know, move a lot of money around. And when they've been selling, they did top. I don't understand. I've tried to read what's called TR1s, pretty much, you know, when you have significant interest. Whenever you go above 3% in a company, you have 3%, you've got to notify the company and they have to release it via an RNS. Because that means you're a significant holder. And every 1% above that as well, you have to notify them. So anytime you buy. And BlackRock, of course, owned about 5-6% of BT, which is quite a lot of money considering BT's market cap is about 13 billion or something. So they've bought this sold, but there's different derivatives of with attached voting rights and all this. So I can't work out. It's seemed the last RNS, it seemed like they're accumulating. But this obviously, I don't know what's going on. They're either buying out one fund and selling out another fund. But it's now the share price is like, you know, it's hit an all-time low of 220. What are we at the moment? 220 something? 222?
Yeah, 222, yeah.
I think, what is going on here? It's ridiculous.
What's Megan's... Sorry, go, Paddy.
I don't know whether people are getting nervous about maybe the 5G licences and the cost that's going to amount to, new people coming into those markets, but you would have thought all the bad news is gone now, but it appears not.
What's Megan's thoughts on it, Just?
You know Megan's thoughts. She's got an investment with no risk attached. You know, it's just all reward.
Right. Because you're going to bail her out.
Yeah, she said to me, no, at the end of this year, I've got it in text. You know, you're going to give me back exactly what I've put in. I said, that isn't an investment, mate. That's, you know, if I could do that. In fact, the closest I can get to that is like Dragon's Den. They only ever invest in companies that are making money and take a big chunk of the company. You think, well, hang on, what's in it for the poor guy here who's doing well anyway? I don't get that. Dragon's Den will not invest in a company that is not doing well, but they'll invest in a company doing well. We'll make it do a bit better. But I mean, they can't seem to lose Dragon's Den, can they? So if they say yes on the show, they'll do due diligence. If there's anything there they don't like, it's like, no thanks.
Yeah.
It's like, so Megan's investment is even tighter than Dragon's Den investment. It's like she gets no loss whatsoever. So, but she's quite happy with that, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've agreed to it, so.
I know. If I was BT, I wouldn't bother with 5G, I'd go straight to 10G or something, you know? Just to trip at the competition. Are you all doing 5G? Oh, we're doing 10G. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've done more than 5G. Yeah, but I don't know what's going on. But listen, I know one thing. March is quite a dodgy month. April, traditionally, is a very good month. It's one of the two best months of the year, I think, looking at the market almanac.
For so what?
For sex.
For the web.
No, for sex.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Let me look. So the market, so historically, April has been one of the best months for equity since 1970. I tweeted this earlier. The average return for the FTSE All Share Index in the month has been 2.6%. Now, if you look at the FTSE All Share, that's everything, you know, pretty much. That seems rubbish, 2.6%. When you look at penny stocks, which can do 100% in a day sometimes, or 20% quite easily. But anyway, there's positive returns seen in 83% of April's in the last 47 years. So that's a good run there. So, and what we do is traditionally you do have a bit of a sell-off, and then you go into April, which does quite well, you know. It's almost like, it's a bit of a con, really, because you go a bit of a, it's almost like those sales you see for bank holiday sales, where companies will hike up a couple of weeks before, and then knock about 20% off when they've raised the price by 20% anyway, you know, in the last couple of weeks. So, but it does, no, it's, that's not strictly true. I mean, April is a good month. I mean, so it's almost worth hanging in there. A lot of people thought, just sell out, a lot of newbies, but you can't. They all said there's lots of cliches around, and, you know, that one about time in the market beats timing the market or trying to time the market, because it's very hard to time the market, you know, and, you know, that's a trick where we could try and become a trader. And 90% of traders, I think the stat is 90% of traders lose 90% of their account in 90 days. That's day traders, you know. So when you ever see these adverts for trading, earn billions trading, you see a guy sat in a Lambo or something with a bird next to him, you think, why are you advertising that? if you're earning billions. You don't need to, do you? You know, why are you selling a course for like £100 a week or something? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, let's talk about Ferrum Crescent, you know? First of all, I want to put a disclaimer on here. If you are listening to the podcast, hoping to get a tip, do no research whatsoever, and just pile in, then if it doesn't go your way, you blame me or something, switch off now, all right? So I've had a lot of flack on Twitter. I blocked so many fools on Twitter this week. Unbelievable. And
me, Steve.
Yeah. Paddy. No, Paddy's okay. I haven't blocked him yet. But I have, though. People are just saying, you know, whenever I've talked about Ferrum Crescent, what have I always said? I've always said, haven't I? This is, could be a competitor.
Buy lots. No.
Buy lots. Yeah, buy this company.
My recommendation.
FCR. Yeah. Listen, this is one of the two turnaround stories I see at the moment, Ferrum Crescent. I like Lawrence Reed. He's a nice guy. He's trying to do the right thing. He's got Miles Campion with him, technical director there. They know what they're doing. They've got a plan. The biggest risk I said was they need to fundraise here. They need some funds. And I didn't think they'd try and raise £1 million. I thought they'd raise a little bit, like £200,000 to get the next stage, maybe do a bit of drilling. But they've not. They've raised £1 million and they're doing about four different things. Scoping study, metallurgy work, expanding the resource. So that's a lot. You know, just raising £1 million when you're a 2.7 million company, that's a lot. I mean, putting that into
it's the discount, isn't it, that people...
Yeah, but people do, but I don't know if you understand. People think, because you're a listed company, now they're a microcap. You know, we are at the bottom of AIM, the most risky place for listed companies of all. Right? Really risky. Now, I don't know if you know anything about lending people money or banks or loans or anything like that.
Yeah.
They deal in risk.
Absolutely.
Ferrum Crescent cannot...
Didn't come as a surprise to me. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, well, Paddy did.
I'm not being talking about it was going to come because we talked about it, and I was expecting it to be, a discount of some description.
Yeah, well, Pad did say, what's the discount going to be? I mean, on the thing here. Because they can't just go to a bank and say, can you lend some money? Banks will not loan generally to people without revenue or profit. You know, you've got to have something there. You get a small business loan, you can't get £1 million. But, you know, out of all things, it's risky. It's a resource company exploring, but they've got a resource. But, I mean, it's not wildcat exploring, looking for something they don't know is there. They know it's there. It's in the ground. But there's still a lot of work to do, you know. But all they need to do is prove this up and show it's very commercial. And they could be taken out for a lot of money. If you look at the peers, that one company, Lynx Resources, was bought for $402 million. Okay, that was a mine, a zinc mine. That was like, and to build the mine, you need probably $100-$150 million, you know? But they're not going to go that far. They don't need to. So all they need to do is prove it up. It's very, commercial, it's economical. The stuff is there, and this can be sold for a lot. So even if you take off $150 million from $402 million, you know, what have you got, Steve? What's the maths there?
So what was it again?
So 150, no, 402 million, take away 150.
I'd have to get a calculator for that. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, it's even harder with Pete speaking all over you, so...
I'm doing the countdown theme.
Thanks.
I'm buying you some time.
That's a good point, actually, on countdown. No one ever says, stop that clock, it's got my nerves, I can't concentrate. Good day. That is so
quite
annoying.
That's distracting, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, so let's say you take 150 or 400,000. It's 250 million, yeah? So that's, you could say...
What?
Well, take 150 off 400 million. What is that?
You said it was 250,000.
Oh, no, sorry. Take 150 million off 400 million, and you got a 250 million. Let's knock 50 million off. Say it's 200 million, right? $200 million. What's that in pounds? 160 million pounds? Ferrum Crescent is now valued at 3 million, pretty much, when the money comes through. They've got a million in the bank to get this resource proved up to a point where it could be saleable. That's a massive discount and disjoint between the current the peers around them. So, but right, I did say, Paddy did say to me, what discount is going to be? I said, don't know. You have no idea. It depends where they get the money from, how much they're borrowing. You know, they've got to take what they can get. They're not. People honestly think they're a listed company. They can have the pick. They can't. It's very hard to raise money. If you're in a resource company, very risky, you're a microcap, and you want to raise a lot of money, it comes with... You can't dictate rules. You're not in a position to dictate rules.
Yeah, and I think... I'll have to listen back, but I think you said exactly this, like, last week or the week before when we were talking about it, because I was like, well, surely
with such a good asset, they'll be able to raise. There won't be a need for too much of a discount, but you know they'll have to do it. You, I think you said at the time, well, we don't know, and it's hard to raise money, and it will be a discount. And I was expecting it, so I hadn't bought any more, but I have bought more now because I was waiting for this drop because I kind of knew it was coming.
I
don't know why people are what the grief you're getting. Is it mostly on Twitter, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a bit of it.
The drop wasn't that big, though, I thought, because the price it dropped to was the same price it was the previous week anyway.
So that's the thing. The thing is, it went up by 10% one day, 10% the other day. Yeah. So it went up by 20%, and then the actual fundraise was like 36% down. So it's only really about 16% down, pretty much. But and that's how they do it generally. They look at average daily weighted volume of over 30 days, and then that can be way out from, if it has a quick rise in the next couple of days, and that can happen, you know. So it was a bit of a drop from the current day price. But that was the biggest risk I felt this company had, you know. Now, the next, up until the end of the year, they've got an excellent program on here. They're going to drill, and they're going to expand the resource, hopefully. So there's different kinds of drilling, you know. There's expansion drilling where you've got resource, you want to make it bigger tonnage-wise. So you drill to, it's open to the east side, so they need to drill towards the east. There's also called infill drilling, to see how consistent or the grades and all that kind of stuff, to get more of a detail on the actual resource itself. So they're going to do a bit of everything. A scoping study as well means sort of pinning down the economics, and that's when they'll say we'll be able to sort of mine this amount, hopefully for this kind of cost, and you know, for this mine life, and so they'll be able, and it's the kind of things you have to take to other, you know, investors and say this is the kind of money you'll be earning with this resource. And like I said, it's in a first world country. It's in a mining friendly jurisdiction. Never underestimate that. There's plenty of, you know, companies with assets in Africa under dodgy governments that you never know could just nationalise the actual asset. You know, I mean, it's happened plenty of times. But they're in Spain, you know, and you know, I know the Spanish can be quite dodgy, but they're generally okay, aren't they? You know, I mean, you know, I've been going there on holiday since the '70s, and I've had no issue at all. So
so that's fine. Let's buy into a zinc mine.
Yeah, I've never done any mining. I've dug on the beach, never had any issues with permits or anything. But
okay, what about funding?
Yeah, no, well, I don't know. My father's always paid when we got on holiday, so the funding's going to be fine, you know.
So did he raise his £1 million? He didn't state that on the podcast.
No, well, what happens is you have to, if you've got a house like, you know, worth 270,000 and you want to raise, you know, 100,000, extra 100,000, that's quite a big chunk, isn't it? So you have to get to past a certain level of shares being issued, you have to get permission from the shareholders at a general meeting, you know. So, so they'll have to, generally it's a foregone conclusion, you know, because it's, I did see one person on Twitter saying that's such a big discount and may vote against it. But I thought, mate, if you vote against it, this company is going to crash and burn, you know. If they're not going to get cash in, what else is going to do with no cash? You know, it's a non-revenue company. They need cash to, so that £1 million could unlock several £1 million worth of value, you know? And so that's the thing. So it's leveraging, massive leverage here. And so there's no point voting against it. There's no other option here. That's one option, and that's the best option. But, you know, like I said, that's the riskiest thing that's going to happen to FCR. And, you know, I did say that, you know, they need to raise funds. And I was too, I suppose I could have waited a bit later. I was too keen to get it, but I bought some more on the day of the big drop. And, you know, and in fact, what, two chunks? And I put a limit order in as well at 0.06. So just in case it went down to that. Because sometimes it wouldn't, I mean, some people assume it would go down to the placing price. It doesn't generally. I don't know how that works. But if you're in a bad market and it's grinding lower for ages and there's no news, it can do. But generally, you know, the reason why people get involved in that placing is because they get an advantageous price. And they can flip the stock. So what happens now in the next couple of months? When it happens and the shares are issued after the general meeting, you will get some people just, you know, as soon as it rises a little bit, selling shares straight away because sometimes they're not aligned to the company. They just want to earn a 25%, 20%, or whatever, 10%, and so they'll just flip the stock straight away.
Does that mean there'll be some volatility over the next couple of months? Then it'll be moving quite a lot.
Yeah, but what Sir Lawrence should hope to do here is get underway as soon as they can with some work, and so start telling the market what they're doing, you know, if good results. So hopefully, you know, you get people seeing this now as a potentially compelling investment case. And I think it is. There's nothing around now on the market, I believe, like this, for a 3 million market cap, £1 million in cash, with those assets in Spain and the work program, that can unlock that kind of potential. And so I've always said, you know, a while back, I said one of the safest times to invest in a small company non-revenue is after they've raised money, because you will get a couple of months of volatility. But if you scale in, you know, then that's the safest thing. They've got cash. What's the worst can happen? The worst that can happen is go bust. They won't with cash. It's fine. You know, so...
You were talking to him about why the board don't own any shares.
Yeah, it's a good point.
What did he say to that?
Essentially, he hasn't taken any money if you look at, you know, my sort of acronym of cap chart, you know, of cash.
Oh yeah, this is my favourite thing.
Yeah, you love it. I go through this every week.
Spell it out.
The first is capitalisation. Listen, tiny little market cap, perfect. Chart, it hasn't spiked, perfect. Assets, cracking assets, they are cash. So that's CCA, the first three, right there.
Yeah.
Shareholders.
Worst spelling of cash. Right. Yeah,
shareholders. Oh, Paddy does one of the best, worst Welsh accents I've ever seen.
But, seen?
Yeah. See? Isn't it? See, Justin? So shareholders, you know, are they tightly held? Not particularly. There's one board member, Colin Bird, has them. I asked him about this. So next S is significant milestone. We got that. Head honchos.
Two S's.
So we got a lot of, I know. But anyway, so yeah, he hasn't taken money in Q4 last year. Didn't take any wages. It took, so they will be paid in shares. So got, and he's listen. Lawrence said something to me. I can't say anything, but I believe he understands that a lot of people would like to see him, you know, own his shares, and he's quite receptive to. He does listen, and I quite like the guy. But essentially, like I said, he hasn't been paid anything. He's been working his ass off on this asset, and he hasn't been paid anything. But I think he, you know. Who knows what will happen? But I mean, you know, I always like to see, you know, holding shares. It's not an essential, but I like to see it. I really like to see it. I say, you know, if you believe in this project, put your money where your mouth is, you know?
Surely by not buying shares, but taking a pay cut is the same kind of thing as buying shares. That just shows commitment, doesn't it?
Yeah, because they will be paid, probably. They'll probably take shares as payment in some way. No, I believe you. And listen. That's it. I believe he's committed. And when I told him about this, I've said a couple of times, I even showed the survey I did on Twitter. And I said, 92% of people, I did a one-day survey, almost 900 people voted. 92% of people said they're put off by a company whose board don't have any shares in the company. He said, no, okay, I understand that. I understand. And he, you know, so he's receptive to that. And do you know what? You know, you're a feeling for a person, you know? And I've spoken to a lot of CEOs, and I've got plenty of, you know, thoughts about CEOs, and largely after chatting to them a few times, I've got it sort of right, and I've not invested in some because I'm not like what they've said, and I felt you're not genuine fella, and I do believe he has enthusiasm and miles for the project, and they think they're sitting on a great asset, and if they work this up into a cracking asset, you know, semi world class asset, because it's not going to be I think bought by the, you know, the Rio Tintos or the Glencores, are not big enough for those guys, really, the massive companies. But it's a good mid-tier stock company could buy this. They can do that, you know. Then all of a sudden, they've got a cracking track record. And in this field as well, when you get a good track record, you get, you know, better gigs. And that's it. I mean, you're well thought of. And there's plenty of private investors who will talk about you in a favourable light. So it's to their benefit. They'll earn lots of money. They'll get hopefully decent options. But yeah, I always like to see a bit of skin in the game. But who knows? They may do it. They may still do it because they haven't been paid, you know. So if you're not being paid, it's hard to buy some shares in a company, you know, really. Think, oh, I haven't been paid anything, but I'll chuck some money into my shares, you know. But here we are, it's FCR. I think it's always risky turnaround stories, isn't it? But, you know, hopefully it will be, you know, it will pull out. It will do well. What do you reckon? Pad, any other questions? So you said they have a market makers buying and selling, and that went into a long answer, and we sidetracked there something. Is there anything else you've been thinking about, chatting about, or seen, or have any questions about? You think, I don't understand that.
Mm. So you talk a lot about fluidity and like the amount of shares in the market.
Yeah.
Where do you see those numbers? Where do you get that information, and what does that mean?
Well, essentially, there's some people who argue that the amount of shares in issue is a thing. It's not essentially. It's the amount of free float is a thing. I mentioned this last week, you know. So you can see on it, if you go to, like, for example, Vox, and you click on a company's name, you'll see a little box comes up there, a bid price, and you'll see volume, and you see average volume, and you see shares in issue. And it should be there, the bottom right there. If not, go to the RNSs And they always have to, whenever they issue equity, say a fundraise or anything at all, or options, they have to tell you pretty much how many shares are outstanding. So that's when you'll see how many shares are outstanding. And so even with Farum Crescent recently, they said they'll be issuing 1.7 billion shares at 5.5. So anyway, so how many is all together? And they say at the end how many shares will be in issue. So if you get that amount of shares, times by the share price, that's the size of the company, you know? But if you've had the same management in the company for a long time, I used to search for companies essentially below 500 million shares, right, small cap companies. And what is it? It sort of tells you they've not issued a lot of shares. That's what it tells you. But if you've had the same management in there, you know, and they've issued loads of shares for a long period of time, it tells you they've got no. Because essentially, companies come to AIM, you know, as startups with the intention, I assume, of becoming profitable and having a good self-sustaining business, you know. If they've been on AIM for, like, you know, 10 years and they're still issuing shares and they're not creating any revenue or any profit and there's still management, the same management's there, they've got a lot of shares in issue. That's the only issue I've got with shares in issue, you know. If the management has changed and they're changing the company and the strategy and everything, it's not an issue because that's a legacy issue, you know. So the only thing that really counts is the free float. And that's why it's always good, going back to, you know, cash, Welsh cash, looking at shareholders, are they tightly held? And you can go to any company's website on AIM and look at, and under the, if you look at Rule 26, you look at shareholders and you look at the share structure. Sometimes the title is different, but it'll tell you who holds significant amounts. So any shares held above 33%, it'll tell you who's holding them. And so you can see, and they'll also tell you how many shares are outstanding in the public or not in the public hands. And so, obviously, if you've got a small amount not in the public hands, that's quite tightly held. So that means any buying pressure could push the share up, because it's the old mechanic of supply and demand, isn't it? If there's a bit of demand, there's no supply, or there's lack of supply, the share price should rise. You know, it's like anything with, you know, the price of goods and money. You know, it's like Cabbage Patch Dolls or any kind of craze we've ever had. You know, when there's lack of product around, and then the price will go up. You know, it's like, I'm trying to put an analogy for you, Pad, like drugs, you know. And you're trying to score, and there's lack of dealers around, you know, and it's quite dry about. You're thinking, what's going to do with it?
Yeah. Okay, oh, that's so much clearer now, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, got it. It's just supply and demand, isn't it, you know?
Anyway.
I want to talk about one other, some news out this week. And listen, if you listen to the podcast and watch it, you're saying, why didn't you cover this story? That was massive at the end of the week. I'll just repeat. Pete is starting up a Polish schlep with his Polish girlfriend in Poland. And he's had to go off and he's got the marriage. So, Pete, congratulations. We can't be there, of course, because it'll look very dodgy if you have lots of Polish guys with it. But you won't get your visa and stuff. But congratulations on the marriage. What's her name?
Thanks,
What's her name, by the way?
Brian.
Okay.
Is it going to be a sausage party?
No.
They love their sausages, the Polish, don't they?
No, they do, though. Yeah. Hey. Hide the sausage.
Yeah, yeah. There we are. That's Pete, hopefully, on the wedding night. Hey, Pete. So that's why we're doing an early podcast. Pete's off. He's getting married to Brian
Polski-Schlepp
on Thursday. But if you haven't covered any news, but other big news we had this week was who was it?
I don't know.
ACP, are you in ACP?
Yes.
Armadale Capital, are you in ACP, Pad?
I don't remember. I think I might be.
You were as good as Steve, actually. Steve has no idea. Steve was talking about a different stock for about 3 months and he realised he didn't have it. Oh, he did have it. What was he talking about? His one stock. No, I don't have that, do I? Yes, terrible.
The thing is, I've got companies on my Vox Markets watch list which aren't on my H&L one. Or, no, the other way around. So I sometimes look at it.
Are you a Harry and Larry? You're a Harry and Larry customer. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
It takes so long to log into it that I just don't bother. So I just tend to look at Vox Markets.
Yeah, but that's it.
Have you not got the new iPhone? Because it logs in on your facial thingamajig or your finger.
Yeah, no, I have got the app yet as well, but I find that quite fiddly.
Or putting your finger on it.
Yeah.
Can't put your finger on it.
So, I've got some companies on my Vox Markets watch list, which I don't actually own, but I still get excited when they go up and down.
I don't own them. Paddy, you can set up multiple watch lists on the app, so you can have two.
I've got
four watch lists on my, so I've got my stocks, and I've got other, and I've got big caps. So you know, and in fact, the other ones add new. But so my stocks are obviously stocks I own, but you can add multiple watch lists, and you just a little scroll button there, a little drop down menu, and you select. So you can have your stocks on one. And so it's quite easy. I'll send you a link to a video, but you can have plenty of watch lists. Yeah, and then Harry and Larry, we should charge them commission on this podcast. Ooh, you got Steve coming to Harry and Larry. Ooh, lovely, lovely Steve. Steve makes so many trades, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, lovely commission, lovely.
Buying and selling.
Yes. Yeah. So
buy high, sell low.
They're pretty expensive though, aren't they? If you compare the trading commission fees with other companies, they're not the cheapest.
Depends how often you're trading and stuff, doesn't it?
What is that, beads? What's that?
No, Steve with the Fostering beads. What are they called? What's those beads that you see people in Muslim countries have? Rosary beads. Have you got those, Steve?
What? Where does that come from?
You count in coins. What is that?
I know Steve counting his coins. Oh, look how much money I've got. but I can hear some noise. I can hear some rustling of beads on coins. What are you? Is that you, Steve? Last time you were rubbing the thing on your crotch or something. What are you doing? Whatever. Don't do that.
I think I was just playing with my teeth. Sorry.
Playing with? Are they very furry?
No.
Stop playing with. How can you play with your teeth?
It's
very limited amount of amusement you get from your own teeth, isn't it, really?
I really miss Steve. I really miss working with Steve. This is a joy.
Paddy, I haven't listened to last weekend's podcast. Paddy texted me and said, is Steve all right? And at the end of last week's podcast, he was sounding really down and disconnected with the world generally. Turns out he was just doing some work in the background. That's why he said. I said, Steve, what's wrong? He said, no, what? I said, what's wrong? Nothing. So seriously, what's wrong, Steve? Nothing. And honestly, he was so engaged in what he was doing, the video editing, he said, no, I'm just editing a video and stuff. So, right, okay. No emotion.
And this
whatsoever.
Week he's just playing with his beads.
Yeah, exactly. So
you
anyway.
Can't connect four, Steve. Is that what that is?
Can't play that on your own, can you? I've tried it.
And Steve often plays it on his own, but he always loses. So Armadale Capital it was. Yeah, so listen, the graphite business, cracking results. Again, another turnaround company. This is an ex-CEO, like Farm Crescent, really stuffed it up, got really bad sentiment as far as private investors headed towards it, because it didn't do... All you have to do, pretty much, is if you've got an asset, is do something, say why you're doing it, then do it, And it's amazing how many CEOs can't do that. But the last Armadale Capital CEO did that. But they've announced they've got a 31-year mine plan completed. Yeah. 31 years for a mine plan is a long time, Generally, when you get sort of mine... And also, this is... Whenever you look at the mining and stuff, you've got to look at, how close to the surface is this ore, the mineral you're looking at, whatever you're mining, and what kind of grade it is. Because, of course, the higher the grade... Essentially, if it's done in tonnage or a percentage, obviously the higher it is, the less you have to process that, and the less you have to dig down. And costs are a major thing in mining, of course. The more you have to dig down, the further deep down you have to get, the more it costs, the less economical it'll be, and other mines around the world probably can undercut you, and that's the thing. With a downturn, you'll be one of the first mines to close. So this is, near surface, high grade, 12.5% total graphite content. They're looking at producing about 400,000 tons per annum. So it's around about, I think, it's all different. Graphite is very complex. It's like you've got flakes, and they're going to be high-quality flakes to be working lithium-ion batteries. By the way, there's more graphite in the lithium-ion battery than lithium, but 10 to 30 times more. And so they've got large, jumbo, super jumbo flakes. They're massive, because apparently you waste about 70% of the graphite when you're processing it. But it's perfect for, lithium-ion batteries. So it's all good. And I'm thinking, wow, they came up with a scoping study next, which, of course, Farron Crescent are going to be doing as well. But the scoping study will show you the economics of the project. And I think it's all good. And this, again, it's a 5 million market cap. just under 5 million.
The share price didn't move much on that news, though, did it?
No, because these companies have beaten up, right? They've beaten up sentiment-wise. Right. They've really annoyed investors before. They've been perennial disappointers. There's been people slagging them off for months and months. And yet, some people will obviously forget about the story, move away, or they're not... I mean, I know people at Fareham Crescent, they don't even know there's a new board there. You know, they're just slagging it off, thinking, oh, same old company, promising the same old thing, you know. Yeah. And I go, no, hang on a sec. You know, or, you know, the asset's been kicked around. It hasn't been kicked around for a while. They have come in, end of last year, these guys, Lawrence and Miles, they produced a joke resource. Now, for anyone not aware of that, it's like a it's a worldwide renowned sort of standard, you know, and so it's worldwide renowned, and so you do this lots of resources about, but a joke resource, and they've done that next to no money, like Lawrence says, and so and they've got a plan, and they're going to stick to that plan and do the plan. So people, you know,
I like how you've got back onto SCR.
Sorry. So no, I'm the capital though. I'm going to say the guy there. So what's his name? Nick. Johansson, director.
Johansson, probably.
Johansson, probably. Yes, that's it. Yeah. I don't know why he mispronounces that. I should tell him it's Johansson. But you know, he's got a plan. He's sticking to it, and he's actually delivering ahead of time, ahead of target, a schedule, and that's impressive, you know. But yet, it's still tainted by the former CEO, who people slagging him off all the time when he used to come to the podcast. But and same with the old FCR CEO. But yeah, it's just sentiment, and that's the time. As long as you look at the assets are good, you know, and then you've got a turnaround story happening, and they're sticking to it. That's when a share is beaten up and no one loves it. That's the time to get in. That's when you get, you know, the bargains. Not when everyone's talking about it on, you know, certain bulletin boards. No, my brother calls up all the time and he texts me, "What about this share?" And I said, stop looking at that website, because they look at most hotly discussed stocks. And if you look at those stocks that are hotly discussed, they've risen already. Pretty much most of them have done, you know, 50, 100% rise. I said, that is not the time to invest. It's too late. The early fast move has happened. You know, it's when people doubt a stock and when the sentiment is low, but the assets are there and there's a change around in board and they've got the cash to do what they want to do. That's when you get in and you have to sit and wait, be a bit patient. And as long as the board stick to the plan, and they develop those assets that are worth something, that's when you'll see the fast, easy money. This is a 3 million market cap, I keep saying. It's got £1 million in cash now. It's like assets worth 3 billion in the ground at FCR. That's nuts. That is, we'll look back on this in 6 months' time. Listen, if you listen to this, I'm ramping the stock, switch off. You're an idiot. What I'm just saying is, we look back at this in a year's time, okay, and we'll say,
ramping the stock.
And we'll say, can you believe that was $3 million? I wish I'd mortgaged my house. No, but you know, don't ever do that, obviously.
Don't do that. But, are you back onto FCR now?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm onto, really.
The FCR podcast.
Yeah. What other stocks do you have? Any other questions, Pat? Or what other stocks do you have, Pat? Anything else? Anything that you have any questions about? Steve can ask you any questions about girls or anything, or anything, or relationships. Steve's good at that. I mean, he stops.
Oh, don't set him off, mate. He's stopped counting his coins now.
No, I can hear the coins stopped.
I've got some Upland Resources.
Yes, good.
That seems like another good story. The Irish chap from United Oil and Gas, I liked.
Ben! Wasn't he?
He's very... He's very charismatic, but seems to know what he's talking about. I bought some Standard Life shares. This was like a mistake. When I was literally right at the start trying to figure out how to work the website, and I bought some Standard Life shares when they had that big crash, when they lost the business from Lloyds. And I thought there's going to be some news about whatever the plan is afterwards, straight afterwards. And there was, and it went from like, I bought like three 60 or something, and it went up to £4.04, and that was all I was looking for there. I remember you said to me, make sure you'd have a think about how much percentage you want to take out of when you buy something. But then I screwed up the sell, so I wasn't able to get rid of them. But that was like a nice little...
How do you screw up the sell? We got Steve Mark II here. How did you mess it up?
Well, it was happening, like, it happened, that news come out in the morning, and so I was at the gym, and I was trying to, I'd not actually sold any shares before, so I was on the app, and I was trying to figure out how you sell shares.
Well, you're on the treadmill at the same time.
Yeah, literally, right. And I gave up, and it went from £4.04 right back down to £3, whatever it was. But it's going back up now, so I think, that looks like it might not be quite such a disaster.
Was it a case where you sold and you were happy as Larry, thinking, yes, happy as Harry and Larry, and you think, oh, it's easy, this Shea game, and then you're on treadmill, running away lovely. You go on casually, you know, flip open a beer, check your portfolio, and sitting there in your portfolio, standing like Shea, you say, what? Almost, you know, zoom in, what the heck? Are they still there? But I know, listen, that's the tricky thing. There's so many moving parts to investing stocks and shares and trading it that you've got to sort of build up your own strategy. And I said to people who listen to the podcast, you know, I've built up a strategy that sort of works for me. But, you know, if you do it enough, you have to build up your own thing. And Pat, you will get this. If you get, anyone will get this. But if you're watching an international, say the World Cup final, football, you know, two cracking teams there, Brazil against England. That's not going to happen, is it? But let's be honest, Brazil against England, you've got 22 people on the pitch, yeah? All different styles, all world class. And that's what I'm saying. You know, there's so many different kinds of techniques to investing in stocks and shares. And that's why it's quite an emotional, argumentative sport as well, in pastime, because, you know, it's only not one way of winning. It's not one way of losing. There's plenty of ways to win and lose, you know, but you've got to find your own strategy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Pad?
Yeah, no, I'm really, like I said to you right at the start, like I've always followed this. I've always been interested in company news and keeping up to date on what certain firms are doing, but just never understood how to buy or sell shares or how any of this works. So I'm not, you know, I wouldn't imagine I'd get into it quite as much as you have, but I will.
No.
I won't be setting up podcasts and doing strange acronyms.
Why, Paddy on the poddy, Paddy on the poddy. We can do the jingle for you. Paddy on the poddy, poddy, Paddy, Paddy's poddy. Paddy, poddy, Paddy, Paddy, Paddy on the poddy. That's perfect, I think.
Yeah.
I think, do you know what?
Paddy on the poddy.
That could be it. And all you need to say after the jingle at the start is, hello, everyone. And then that'd be it. Paddy on the poddy. Episode 2. Hi, everyone. But I think just that title is unbeatable. You're probably getting top 10 of iTunes just for that title, that jingle, that title. And it's perfect for podcasting, surely.
Yeah. I'll give it some thought. I'll definitely get add it to the list.
The podcast. The podcast. That is perfect. Anyway, welcome to, that's all you need to say, Paddy, you're on the poddy, Paddy, you're on the poddy, welcome to this week's podcast, and then you chat about stuff for a little bit, and that's it. But you know, the number one, the most important thing, we can ask Steve this, he'll know this by now, Steve, if a friend of yours is starting to invest, like, well, Paddy has here, what's the most important thing you should tell him about? What's the most important thing, above anything else, before you learn anything else, what's the most important thing?
Now, at which stage are we at now? Because you caught me out on this before, and I'm like, no, before that.
Yeah, when a friend of yours says, Steve, I've seen you walking around in that swanky gear of yours.
Yeah.
You're obviously making
driving around in that beat up Vauxhall Astra.
No, I've seen that orange suit you're wearing and those white shoes and that jaunty hat you're sporting. Mm-hmm. Now, I see you're obviously making a bit of money in the stocks and shares game, eh? And you say, am I off? I'm really coining it in. And I said, how do I do, Steve? What's the first bit of advice you say to them? He said, come back to my pad and I'll tell you all about it. And, you know, you drive back in your yellow or, you know, really bright Rolls Royce back to the... It's like almost like a Jimmy Savile style. Anyway, but, you know, really off. But we drive back there. What's the first thing you sit him down, you light up a, you know, big cigar. Sorry, I want to get away. I want to get away from that guy. But you sit down there, you cross your legs and say, listen to me, son. There's one thing you have to know first before anything else.
Set yourself an account up. Stocks and shares ISA.
yeah, okay. That's it. Set yourself... That's not really... If you're opening to a film here, Steve, right? And
I never know what stage you want to give advice on. Because
That wouldn't be a stunning opening line, would it? I mean, if you do a Wolf of Wall Street or something, listen, son, set yourself up an account of stocks and shares ISA.
This time next year.
Try again, Steve. Sit yourself down. You're talking like you're sitting in a mansion here, Steve. You're a really flash, you know, right. Someone's like a Malibu sort of beach things, you know, big window, look at the beach. So, see, you know, big white swivelly chairs. Amazing. Everything's white
big
inside.
Hairy chest.
Yeah, his drink, chest, everything. You know, literally, his shoes are amazing. You know, I mean, people look at his shoes from a mile away.
They're
sparkling that much, you know. Your teeth are blind people. It's like, you know, it's like head beam, full lights, head beam.
Your teeth are blind people.
They're so bright, you know, literally.
They will blind people.
They've got lights built into them. You open your teeth, like a disco in there.
Blind people.
So you sit down, cross your legs, you've got a little jar of whiskey or whatever, you've got sherry in a nice bell jar there. Cross your legs, spark your cigar up, and you say, "Listen, son, set yourself up to stocks and shares, Isa." No, you don't say that, right? So what do you say to them? What's the first word you say? One word, Steve, one word. It's all you need. One word. You know, I got all this, son. What do you say? One word.
Do your research.
One word. One word.
Research. Research.
No.
Risk. Go on then, reveal the answer that you're... Pete, do you know what the answer is?
I know what you mean. I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's going to be either risk or managing risk or cash.
That's usually my answer, so if that is the answer...
Yeah, risk.
Oh, come on. I always give the old risk management thing, and you say, no, not that stage, somewhere else.
No, come honestly, on. I've always said this, isn't it? It's a learning game, you know, but if you haven't got any cash and you lose all your cash, you can't learn. Your lesson ends, full stop. You've got to learn to manage your risk. And by that, I mean, whenever you go into a stock, you know, go in small, go in very small. Because if you go in small and it goes wrong, it's fine. It's a lesson learned. What I do wrong there? If you go in big and you know, and it goes wrong, that's it. End, game over. You know. In a arcade game. But you've got, you know, risk. It's all about risk, son. It's all about risk.
And the big 10%.
Knowing how to play your risk. And I mean, you know, and I say, you know, and that's what... You can't... I always say this, you know, you can't control the share price, you can't control the markets. You can control your exposure to that, though. You can control your exposure. So if you put a pound in, you lose a pound. You can lose a pound maximum. Worst thing. You put 100 grand in, you can lose 100 grand in one stock, you know. So that's it. Spread the risk, and you know, a balanced portfolio should be, that people say, should be everything from fixed interest like bonds and all this stuff, you know, and all very safe stuff. But equities is where it is at. You know, like I said, at the moment, interest rates are on the floor. That's probably why the market's dragging at the moment. There's likely to be another interest rate hike, and of course, it's not good for the stock market. But at the moment, it's pretty much the only game in town, equities. But historically, you know, equities have beaten every kind of investment return on any other sort of asset class. So, you know, equities where it's at, but you've got to know how to play it. And while you're learning to play it, make sure you don't lose, you know, the currency you're playing in, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, risks, yes, what is risk? And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Steve went mad on a couple of shares. And his money's still tied up now, and the company had delisted because he went mad. He didn't sell, and he literally put.
That's not great.
No, and Pete, you were laughing at that, though. You were laughing.
No, just the way you presented it.
Don't blame me. You were laughing at him losing money. You weren't blaming. You weren't laughing the way I said it. You were laughing at Steve losing money. That is
I wasn't.
Horrible cold heart, and that's why he's marrying a Polish lady, just to get a visa.
I wasn't laughing. I think we've been through it, you know, enough times that I'm not laughing at that. It's just the way you presented it.
But no, that'll come back, hopefully. Steve will come back and relist, hopefully, if Ben, you know, gets his way. Who's in charge of that. But there we are. But I don't know. Has anything helped Pat on the podcast today? Are they on the podcast? Oh,
absolutely nothing.
Excellent. That's what we try and do. Lovely. Well, I think we've got to go now. But listen.
It's been lovely chatting, though, guys.
Yeah. And I've got to say, at the end.
It's been good to speak.
Yeah, well, this is how we keep in contact. We don't speak apart from this, to be honest.
Yeah, we don't, really.
Every now and again we meet up for a game of golf. You should join in there, Pat. But apart from that, we...
Invite me and I'll come.
Yeah. Are you any good?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll invite you then.
No, we don't want that.
No, we don't want that. Because Steve is useless, really bad.
I have my good and bad days.
Well, yeah, but you often come
with us in the bad... Good ones,
you don't bring the good days to you. It's almost like you're obviously playing on your own when you have a good day.
I think actually the next golf game needs to be on a crazy golf course because I will beat you all on that.
Okay.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, what am I doing that? Excellent. But anyway, that's it. And listen, don't forget this podcast. We are talking about stocks that we own or I own. And I may be talking rubbish. I may be ramping them. So listen, do your own research and don't buy what I say and then blame me if it goes the wrong way. You know, you put all your money into it because frankly, you know, you're an imbecile if you do that. Really are. You know, only Steve does that. And, you know, so there we are. All right, lads, have a nice weekend. If it's obviously it's not the weekend yet, we're recording this on Wednesday, but it's the weekend. People listening to this, it's the weekend. Steve is strutting around the town in his sharp suit.
Right.
All right, cheers, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.